Lost in Jersey is meeting the candidates. Welcome to our Montclair Election Special 2024. Introducing Bob Russo, running for Councilor at Large.
Welcome, Bob Russo. Thank you for coming on and sharing with us why you're running for Council at Large again.
Well, I've been elected six times in Montclair, and that's a record, so I'm not unfamiliar with what this is. This is going to be my last election. I'm at the point in life where I'm going to retire from it all after I serve one more term and help the town transition to a new council. Almost all, well, everybody but me is not running. The mayor and council decide not to run. And that's partly because of all the problems we've had at Montclair. But I stick with it because I've done nothing that anybody can question. And there's been very positive a request to me to do it again. Everybody's asked me to run for either mayor or council. So I've served as mayor 20 years ago. I can do the best to help either two of the new women who are going to be mayors. We're going to have the first woman mayor in Montclair. And I'm going to help the new council members. There'll be five other council members who I can help because I've served as the first ward councilman when I first got into town. And I've served as mayor and I've served as deputy mayor and now council at large for 12 years. This will be my last service to the town. And I love doing this because what I teach at Montclair State, where I just came from class, teach a class called Government Problem Solving. And what I like to do is solve problems for people. It's sort of an ombudsman role. I used to work for the public advocate in New Jersey many years ago under Governor Byrne and under Governor Florio in consumer affairs. So I used to handle all the complaints about automobiles and the lemon law.
Oh, wow.
The lemon law.
Lemon law for New Jersey. So I know how to handle complaints, get things done for people and help them resolve their problems. Even if it's a pothole on a street or a tree branch that needs to be cut, anything the town's government needs to do for people, I try to get it done.
Well, you definitely think the complaints have gotten a lot worse over the years since you've been in government?
Town government is now adapted to technology so people can get the message to the town government more quickly when there is a problem on the street. However, getting it done is still a problem when bureaucracy gets in the way or there's a communication breakdown or I get a complaint and then I send it to the people who do the job. It's the town manager in Montclair who runs things. It's not the town council or the mayor, the town manager. So the manager and the staff under the manager is what has to get this done. Let's just say it's a curb problem or a sidewalk problem. These things cannot be done by me. However, I do go out and look at what the problem is and I get it transmitted to the manager. Then if it doesn't get done, people get back to me. And of course, if it really never gets resolved, they won't vote for you again. So it's like customer service, you know, the constituents are like consumers of this town's government services. And if I can't get something done, they're going to blame me. And it's because the system is manager run. It's not council or mayor run.
But I have a question about that. I do want to get your background in a little bit. But I also, since we're talking about policy and how the government runs, I understand there's seven council votes. Is that correct?
The mayor and council are seven people who run, they're called the governing body. The mayor just chairs the meetings, doesn't have any more power than anyone else. But the mayor and six council, four wards and two at large. I'm one of the at large.
So when a resolution comes forward to, you know, to the public has put forward and it you vote on it and the it gets the majority of the votes, then it does it go then to one of the planning boards or depending on what the issue is? And then if they approve it, it goes to the general manager, because it seems like there's some steps before the general manager actually starts to try to fix the issue.
No, it usually comes from various boards to us. So the planning board will send something to us, or a commission or a committee will send us a suggestion, civil rights commission, people with disabilities, which is my liaison group. Then there's the senior citizen committee. These groups give us things to do. I just got a request now to have a proclamation for a particular group for this month. It's actually Autism Awareness Month. So the group that deals with these disabilities asked me to do that Wednesday night. I'll put that forward. So whatever we do is passed right on to the manager. The manager has to finally implement whatever we decide. And we really only control the budget overall, and we control appointments of the manager, the town attorney, and the clerk. Those are the three groups, the three entities that report to us. Mm-hmm. And the manager oversees and supervises all of these employees, 400 employees operation with 10 departments.
Okay, so you're saying that if I wanted to lower the speed limits, which is something that's been going on, I would go to the board responsible for that, and we would make the case, and they would put up a resolution that would come to you that your team needs to read. Once you, if you support it, it goes to the general manager to start the action.
The town manager will implement. So we just passed a resolution asking the county to allow us to reduce all the speed limits on county roads in Montclair. We already have a 25-mile limit on all the town roads, but we can't do anything on county roads until the county commissioners approve it. So we have to ask them by resolution to let us do it. So the county has allowed us to do that. So Grove Street, Valley Road, watching all the county roads now will be 25 miles an hour, just like the town roads. The problem is to inform everybody of that, to put signage up that says 25 miles and to actually enforce it. Police can't be everywhere, but this is where people have to call in and let us know if there's a problem.
I have your flyer and your platform that you're running on. And I know that a couple of things that you've listed that you support is one of those is the speed, reducing the speed limit and to 15 and 25 where it applies. And then you're also in support of the pilot, all funds from the pilots going to schools for rent control. And senior housing, senior center, and returning the council meetings for people to be able to speak for 3 minutes to the council during the town hall meetings. Out of those items, but is there a passion cause that you have that you feel the most, that is the most important to you?
Yes, well, here's the thing. I didn't put them in order of priority, but I did start out with the pilots because if so much money was needed last year to avoid layoffs of teachers, and it could have been received by the town as revenue through the pilot payments, that would have solved the problem. I advocated it. No one else supported it with me. And there's still questions how it would be done. But the public and the parents and the children were all cheering me on at a council meeting. They've been sending postcards. Please use that money. Now, you can't just use that money and not replace it. So we have to find savings. And what my passion was last night was that I've identified $3 million in savings, primarily from administrative bureaucracy and not hiring additional people and outside consultants we've hired and outside law firms. You add it all up, it comes to those millions that could replace whatever we lose by pilots being given to the schools. So it's a matter of priorities, putting things where we should. So I'm concerned about students, children, schools, parents. And then I'm concerned about seniors, which I am. I know I don't look it, but I'm 75. So my passion is with the seniors having a center, which we almost had 4 years ago, and then it fell apart. And under this mayor and council, we've never been able to really implement their request. Now, this comes from the senior leaders in the town and the Senior Citizen Advisory Committee saying we want this location or that one. What matters is that we get a central location like they have in Neptune. And what I talked about last night is I go down to Ocean Grove a lot. So my other passion is to walk the boardwalk in Asbury Park and Ocean Grove, where I kind of grew up in the summer. And I really feel we need a center like they have on Route 33 in Neptune, which is a freestanding building, one-story building, lots of parking, very easy for seniors to get to. And they have shuttle buses all over like we don't have. That's the model. So let me just say one other thing, though, because you'll see in there when I talk about returning the meetings. My biggest passion as a teacher of political science and government is that people have a right to speak. 1997 was the year I walked out of a council meeting, and I can do that when I really get mad. The mayor was cutting off somebody after 3 minutes and saying he couldn't finish speaking from a little street off of Valley Road. And I wanted to hear the rest of that constituent speak. So I said to the mayor, you can't cut him off. Let him finish. He only needs another minute. Oh, no. Who are you to tell me to do that? I said, I'm just a council member, but you're the mayor, but you have the right to cut people off. And the clerk has this buzzer that goes on now, you know. Well, now this mayor has cut it to 2 minutes, not even three, 2 minutes. And he says you can't speak about anything unless all the business of the town is done. So you can't speak about general issues. We had an 11 o'clock session where people finally got to speak. Seniors were sitting there for 3 or 4 hours waiting to speak about the senior center and other issues. That's an outrage in a democracy, you know? So what I'm upset about, why my real passion is how we're not letting the public come up. As soon as the meeting begins, we used to let the people come up and just ask a question, talk for 3 minutes, and you always have to be flexible. So I walked out, it's almost 30 years ago, and then I got elected mayor after I did that. The point is that people didn't want to see a mayor being a dictator, okay? They don't want to see fascism, okay? We're not a fascist society. 3 minutes is normal. In Bloomfield, they go 5 minutes. In Verona, they have 4 minutes. They let you speak at the beginning of the meeting, let you speak at the end.
Seems like you could, you know, you'd have to kind of add a couple of extra meetings and decrease the amount of issues you're talking about to allow that to happen. Is that
so? If the manager could handle these problems before people come there and complain about them, and go right to the manager in his office. The manager makes $200,000 a year. We are volunteers, basically, with a small stipend. You have no need for people to come to meetings and ask for stop signs to be put on their corners continually. That can be done by administrative management efforts. And that's why I'm running again, because I am responsive. That's the one thing you can say. If you don't agree with me on an issue, fine. If I don't get it done, fine. But I try and I respond, and I was mayor, and I never let anybody really feel that I wasn't listening to them or cut them off. Maybe I talk too much. I admit that. But as a teacher... And as a person, when my mother wanted me to be a priest when I was younger, and I said, no, but I'll be sort of like a teacher preacher, you know? And so my whole passion is to explain everything to people, the history of a situation. I have to fight every meeting saying these meetings are for us to get appointments done at least. That's the only power we really have. We put people on boards like Civil Rights Commission, people with disabilities, senior citizens, the Arts Council. These committees have to be reappointed and appointed by the end of the year. And we need to know that. And we need to be told by the clerk, here's a list. These things are not getting done. I'm hopeful that in a couple of weeks, people will elect. They're going to elect. It's all new council. I'm the only one maybe might survive and be there to help them transition. My hope is I can transition and help everyone with the history and be a mentor, a senior mentor, and then I can retire, right? That's my hope, my wife's hope too.
So as we can you know, move on for this, we would like to highlight your what you did prior to coming into office, but it seems like you've been in government from the very beginning. You went to school for government studies, is that correct, at Rutgers?
Political science, I got the award at Rutgers Newark for political science, all A's, but then I did flunk Spanish, and I flunked chemistry. Now, going on to my previous work, all I did was work for the city of Newark as a teacher for 4 years and led the strikes, which many teachers like myself were arrested during the 1970s. And then I went on to teach and work at Essex County College. And then I started to teach in all these universities, Kane, Monmouth University, Rutgers University, Montclair State particularly, for many, many years as an adjunct, and I became the leader of the adjunct faculty union at Montclair State. So it's all been a career really in education, but not full-time. The full-time work I've had is being appointed by two governors, first Governor Byrne in the public advocate office, which was handling citizen complaints about government. That's why I look at how government works all the time. And then I was hired under Governor Florio to be the Lemon Law Director in the Consumer Affairs Division of the state. So it's all been teaching and union work, but government basically as a service when I get elected.
As we wrap up this interview, usually we do want you to finish with reading your poem that you wrote. Can you shout out, when you think about your career, one, I know you're proud of a lot of things, but what comes to the top of your mind, what you feel really proud of that you've accomplished in your tenure?
Okay, so basically, it's the teaching of maybe thousands of students in all these schools. So what I've achieved is that several of these students in my classes have gone on to get elected. The first woman mayor of Keyport was elected. Colette Kennedy a few years ago, and she said, I inspired her in a class I taught in New Jersey government at Kane University. Now I have a student at Montclair State. He's been elected Board of Education member in Belleville, and now he's running for council member in Belleville. Mr. Velez trying to be the first Hispanic council member in Belleville. And there's people like that all over that say to me, they want to run for office because they got my class. They saw what's going on. I bring the reality of government into them, and I show them even my own elections going on and how I win and lose. And if you don't win, you try again. So that's what my major accomplishment, my shout out is to my students. This is my real pride, is having students carry on the kind of work that I try to do.
That's great.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that is a great legacy.
By the way, the reason I started, you see this poster?
Yes.
Yeah.
1960. I was 12 years old. Okay. So this is it. The inspiration was President Kennedy. This is the original posters kept.
That's so cool.
And preserved. And I was a kid in a neighborhood in Newark with all the people in the neighborhood saying, you know, we should get the first Catholic elected. And I went through that when I was only 12 years old. Then when he got shot, I was very discouraged. So I helped his brother, Robert. The Robert Kennedy that ran for president, which shattered my whole confidence in this country when he became assassinated. And in 1968, I dropped out of politics for about a year. I said, I can't even vote. It was my first vote. I said, I can't do it. Then I realized, my God, by me not voting, I got Nixon, who Kennedy had defeated, who we didn't want to see be president. I said, I caused a problem. Like many other people just didn't vote because they were discouraged when Robert Kennedy got killed. So I've been through a very, very serious transition to continual involvement.
Thank you.
Can I definitely read my poem?
You can.
Yeah.
The way this is read, you'll have to read it like a Dr. Seuss poem. This is on the Essex Running Club Keeping Track newsletter front page from 1994, but it's called My Other Race by Bob Russo. The Montclair Council, you know you can't win. It's really impossible, so why even begin? I ran before since the age of 13, winning and losing, and sometimes between. Close elections I'm used to, recounts are my friend. Why put myself through it and lose once again? The challenge was there, the mountain to climb, to prove to myself I could win one more time. So I got my petitions with signers to spare. I walked door to door, nearly ran everywhere. My lists were outdated, the street map a mess. New people I'm meeting, keeping track, a real test. Endurance was needed for 2 months' hard work. If I didn't win this one, I'd feel like a jerk. So I walked till the sunset in cold and in rain, through March and April till election day came. Some houses I missed, some streets left undone. I just had to reach them before May 10th would come. Three opponents I matched and outran to the end. By 50 votes of 2,000, the message I'll send. Don't give up on your goal. Keep your eye on the win. Be focused and strong and not afraid to begin. I hope it inspires other people to get involved and try to help. I want to congratulate both of you. Your show is great. I'll keep watching it.
Thank you.
Well, good luck.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. This podcast is produced by Rachel Martens and Jeanette Afsharian. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you share this pod with your friends and family and let us know what you think. Check out our website at lostinjersey.site. And don't forget to get lost.